Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back. It's the third and final hour of tonight's broadcast that we now find ourselves in, the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and the obligatory top-of-the-hour announcement is that we are coming to you, of course, from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting also to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're online, simulcasting on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, and at either of those two websites, you also have access to our broadcast archives available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Covered a lot of good content with co-host Keith Alexander during the first hour. Winston Smith co-hosted with me during the second hour. Our guest that hour was Dr. Virginia Abernathy, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, although her signature issue has always been immigration, and we were speaking with her about that. Now, at the top of this, our third and final hour, we welcome back a gentleman who was with us just 2 weeks ago. Fan favorite, apparently got a lot of good emails from his most recent interview with us. He is Tom Baugh, a former Marine, patented inventor, entrepreneur, and professional irritant. He is a columnist for Liberty News Radio and author of Starving the Monkeys, Fight Back Smarter. He's joining us, though, again tonight to discuss homeschooling. Tom, is there anything that you're not an expert on?
Well, there's so many things I'm not an expert on, but hopefully we'll be hitting the important ones in this.
Well,
this
I tell
segment.
You, between you were on last time to talk about, I guess, in a nutshell, the economy. Of course, your book covers some very important subject matter, and if people can get more information at starvingthemonkeys.com. If they haven't bought it yet, we certainly encourage them to do that. But tonight, homeschooling. So your interests are vast and varied. Let's talk about homeschooling. You have not just a supporter of homeschooling. You're not just a supporter of homeschooling. You've done something to help make it more possible to the average American taxpayer out there, have you not?
That's the idea. We've just recently launched a series of homeschool courses for teaching students engineering and technology. And you've been homeschooled yourself, and you know that homeschoolers are well known for being way up there in language arts and math and history and philosophy. But one of the things that's been held at arm's length from them for a long time is engineering and technology. Now, a lot of kids learn on their own things like spreadsheets and word processors and stuff like that. But we're going for the long game here. We're thinking that if there was a collapse or if there's not, either way, homeschoolers are going to be able to benefit from what we're doing by teaching these engineering courses. So let's talk about the collapse side for a little bit, because that's near and dear to me because of Starving the Monkeys. You know, I think that's pretty much on the way. And the way to break the stranglehold that the powers running this country have is for us to be able to look at a collapse and not blink. To say that we don't fear that. And this is one way that we can do that. If it goes down, a lot of people are thinking we're going to live in an 1800s era society. Well, I don't want to live in the 1800s. I want to live in the 2000s. I just want to live in the 2000s without all the people who demand something for nothing having their hand in my pocket. So, were it to all collapse, we would then want to be able to rebuild civilization only without them. And so to do that, we have to know how those computerized tractors work. We have to know how those computerized industrial plants and factories, how all those things work. Because someone needs to get those power plants running again. Someone needs to get the tractors running again. Someone needs to be refining fuel. Someone needs to be making shoes or running the paper mill. So all of these things require an understanding of technology. You and I both know that public schools hardly teach anything of value anymore. So by the time, by the time you get out of a public school, you know how to obey authority, and that's about it. You don't know much of anything else. And then we send kids to college and hope that they learn something, and that's still more of that whole obedience and feeding in, fitting in idea. And the idea of these courses is to take someone who knows nothing about technology, who knows nothing about engineering, and over a period of a few years and several courses, they will come out the other end knowing how to program, knowing how to use industrial controllers, what digital logic is and how to make it work, know something about electronics, know something about microcontrollers and firmware, and all of those things it takes to make a modern, comfortable society. And here's one example. Everyone who's growing a garden and who has in their head that they want to be self-sufficient, they know in the back of their mind that they're heavily dependent on fertilizers, they're heavily dependent on pesticides, and all of those chemicals it takes to keep a farm or a garden running. Well, those things come from somewhere. They come from a plant somewhere which uses technology to make them. For example, ammonium nitrate fertilizer. While it may be great for blowing up federal buildings, it's also really good for growing crops. And so a plant somewhere takes water, takes air, and electricity and converts that into ammonium nitrate fertilizer through a series of processes. And every step along the way, there's some industrial controller in the loop. I want to be able to hand a homeschool kid the ability, by the time he's done with these courses, that he can do something with that technology. And he doesn't have to be dependent on going to a government school. He doesn't have to be dependent on taking the student loans. Now, of course, they can go to college and they can take the loans if they wish, but I want to break that dependency. I want it to be the choice of the child and the parent. And I want that kid, if he were to start in the 8th or 9th grade and go through this series of courses we have planned, by the time he graduates in the 12th grade, it's my intention that he have a better technology and engineering education than if he had a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. And I know that sounds crazy to start with, but look at all the homeschoolers who are top in all those subjects that we've talked about before. And their competition is getting worse and worse. So I think it's perfectly rational to take a kid in eighth or ninth grade, start him down that path if he has the interest, and in 4 years, turn him loose on this world of technology and let him be an expert in it.
Well, Tom, you've certainly sold me, and I want to repeat that Tom's not just theorizing here, although everything he said makes perfect logical sense, and I think he's very eloquently articulated the need for such a course that would enable the next generation to step in should there be a collapse and be able to keep our civilization at its current level. Tom has taken the theory to practice. You have, again, created and have available for purchase just such a study course that can be applied to those families in our listening audience who homeschool, and I know a lot of them do. Am I right?
That's right. The first course in this series is about using a programming language called Python, and we're going to be releasing more courses as time goes on. We'll release several this year. But the first course is available now. It's called Software Development 1 with Python. And it's laid out just as you would expect for a homeschool course. There's 64 lessons. Each lesson has some practice exercises and regular exercises at the end. The instructor's guide has solutions for all those things, and it has tips that of the roadblocks that a kid might run into as he's working through the course. So the idea is that the mentor, the parent that's teaching the subject, doesn't need to know anything about engineering or technology. But they're there with the detailed instructor's guide so that they can answer some questions that come up, and they can administer the test, they can grade the test. And the idea is to make it as user-friendly as possible for the parent to be able to mentor their child, to be able to monitor their progress. And along the way, the parent will probably learn a lot about technology too, which, of course, isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, not at all. And let me ask you this, Tom. And I know we're coming up on our break, but we're going to have Tom Ball for one more segment, and he's going to give us more information about this. Because this is what we're talking about. Yeah, we bring you to the attention of a lot of things that are going on that you need to know about. But also on this show, we take great pride in bringing to you potential solutions to these problems. And this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. But can this course, which obviously focuses on engineering and other matters that you've already explained, can it be added to the current existing study? Well, I'm going to have to carry that question over because I hear music. But you see where I'm going with this. Can people select this and implement it into a current course, or is this a course all in itself? We're going to find out more when we come back.
Right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, continuing on with Tom Ball, author of Starving the Monkeys, columnist for Liberty News Radio, former Marine, patented inventor. Obviously, he has great entrepreneurial skills, and he has now, for his latest hit, developed a homeschool study course that actually focuses on things you might need to know in life should things go bad. Imagine that. And Tom, my question for you before the break was, is this something that people can add to existing homeschool curriculum, or is this a standalone course?
Well, it can be used in either way, I suppose. A lot of jurisdictions throughout the country make homeschoolers fill out a course of study plan before the year starts. Others don't. If you're in one of those where you have to fill out a course of study plan, you could list this first course as a semester course, and then by the time we're you will have finished that, we'll release several more on its heels. But you could put this on your course plan, present it to whatever authoritarian figure you have to present your course plans to, and tell them, you know, this is what we're going to be doing for our science requirement, for example. Or
so
if you already have a plan for a science class,
underneath
you could...
the science subject.
That's right. Right. A lot of science and physics is going to be taught as we go forward with these different courses. And, again, there's going to be many of them. There'll be certainly more than a dozen by the time we're done. And so that gives you a lot as a homeschooler in your back pocket to be able to say, I'm presenting my child with this information that's not even available to you in public school. There's certainly a very small group in public school that's going to be getting anything anywhere close to what we're going to be presenting in these courses.
Well, you and I both know the many benefits of homeschooling, and I'm almost certain that the vast, vast, vast majority of my listening audience have very favorable views towards homeschooling. You already answered the question before the last commercial break as to why your course is important. It teaches them skills and things that they're going to need to know, engineering. Whether or not the system collapses or not, it'd be beneficial to know this because it'll help them get a good job, number one, and if they need to actually apply it when it all falls apart, they'll have the skills necessary.
That's right.
But let me ask you this. What grade level is this being geared for?
It depends on the student. Some students will be able to take this as early as 7th, 8th grade. Others may want to wait until their 9th or 10th grade. It's up to the parent to decide how much their child is interested in this sort of thing and how well they might be able to do on it. A few years ago, we were surprised because we did this pilot program with my company, Softball, which is publishing these courses, although you can get them through starvingthemonkeys.com also. But my engineering company, Softball, ran a pilot program with some fourth graders in a gifted class in public school. We went into the public school, offered a few lessons on electronics, had them wire up some little circuits. They made a salinity tester, and tested different fluids to see which one of those was an electrolyte. And, again, this is fourth graders, and they were just eating it up. And they were doing so well at it that we were able to hand the lectures over to one of the students and have the students present the lectures. And these kids were just going off. They just thought it was the best thing, because normally in their gifted class they were like doing arts and crafts and things like that weren't really, you know, all that interesting.
Oh, well, I mean, sure. You've got a good, rich brain that needs to be stimulated. And I don't know if arts and crafts are going to get the job done throughout high school. But,
right.
Tom, let me ask you this. You already made mention of the fact that this is not going to be your only venture into homeschool curriculum. You have more courses, more subject matter forthcoming, correct?
That's right. It's our intention over a period of a few years to allow a homeschool student to have as much of an education in technology and engineering as it'd be possible for someone with a bachelor's degree or even beyond, in some cases, to a master's degree. And I've taught college courses. I've helped design college courses in this material. So this is not my first time going through this. It's something that I have quite a bit of experience doing. And so I have confidence when I say that there's going to be a lot of homeschool kids, if they go down this path, it's going to blow away what they would experience in college. If they then do decide to go to college, those courses are just going to be easy for them at that point. You could look at this as sort of like an advanced placement in engineering and technology. So, for example, if they went and took a microcontroller class in college, which is normally not done until their senior year, it would be easy. But if they've gone through this experience already.
So if they can get a good handle with your course, it's going to more than prepare them for what they'll be facing in college.
That's right.
And that's an excellent head start. I couldn't see why anybody wouldn't want to have the benefits of something like that. So now the most obvious question of all should be asked, how can people get more information about this and your other related products, and how can they buy them and add it to their home schooling agenda?
The easiest way to look at the homeschool information, and these courses are also going to be offered to public schools and technology schools like community college, et cetera, but we really wrote them for the homeschooler with that mom in mind who doesn't know the engineering world but wants to be able to teach it. You can go to softball.com and you'll see the softball.com/courses, and you'll see the public image there. But the best way to get into the homeschool back door is go to starvingthemonkeys.com, and there will be a link on that main page that will take you into the homeschool back door. And from there, you can order it from our online store if you wanted. We're pre-ordering these things right now. We should get them in the middle of June. So if someone wants to buy this $50 course, they get a 20% discount if they order it by the 30th of June.
So, first of all, the price is right. And secondly, they haven't missed the boat yet. They're not going to. They have a chance to be among the very first to put this great new course into their study plan. It's a great time to do it, too, because it's summer. It's summer,
right.
And this will help you. You can go ahead and get it, look it over, and prepare to add that to your course of studies when the next school year rolls around this fall.
Right, and I would highly encourage everyone who goes there, even if you're not ready to buy it right now, subscribe for the updates, and so we'll be able to tell you when new stuff comes out. And at some point, you know, let's say your child's maybe a little too young right now, and you want to think about it some more, at least get on the mailing list, the email subscription list, so that we can keep you updated when things come out.
Well, Tom, we have about one or two more fleeting minutes before we've got to move on. I know you've got a busy schedule. You've got some things to do this evening as well. But I want to remind people again to go to starvingthemonkeys.com, spelled exactly how it sounds, starvingthemonkeys.com. That's Tom Ball's website. It features his book, which he has previously promoted on this radio program, with our great endorsement, by the way. But also at starvingthemonkeys.com, you can link over to his homeschooling course, which he's been on tonight to promote. And as we do with every guest, we have that linked up on our homepage this evening as well, because Tom is a featured guest this evening. I've got about a minute left, Tom. Is there anything that we have failed to cover that you would like to bring to our audience's attention?
Well, I think that's been pretty much complete, but I wanted to tie into something that Dr. Abernathy had said in the previous hour about our schools being taken up, our colleges, et cetera, are educating just about everybody but us. And this is one of the ways that we can help fight back against that. is that, you know, you may not be able to get into a college. You may not be able to afford to go because they're catering to everybody else. And this, like you said earlier, is a great way to make yourself more competitive for those jobs that are out there. And there are some job posting sites where you can bid on contracts for software jobs, and you won't be prepared after taking the first course. It'll take several before you would be. But there are ways to get jobs, get contract jobs, even though you don't have a degree.
Tom Ball, everybody. Check him out at starvingthemonkeys.com, and please do consider purchasing this homeschooling study guide. Tom, thank you so much, my friend. Always great to have you.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
But you know we got what it takes. Oh, we ain't got nothing yet. No, we ain't got nothing yet.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Big girls don't cry.
Real Talk, Frankie Valli, and, of course, our wonderful board op at Liberty News Radio, Denny. And, wow, Tom Ball, I tell you, every time he makes an appearance on this show, he just gets better and better. And I do hope that everyone who listens to him tonight will check out his homeschool study curriculum at starvingthemonkeys.com. We have brilliant friends here in the political cesspool. If we are ever judged by the friends that we keep, I have no doubt that we're going to come out on top. And the friends that I keep come no finer than the people that helped me co-host this radio program, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, who you have heard from this evening, Bill Rowland, who has the night off, and, of course, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is joining me now. Eddie, how's it going, buddy?
It's going real well. I've been having a good day today. I've been enjoying my favorite show, The Political Cesspool.
You have been listening, I'm sure, before your appearance this evening, and I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to everyone's attention. Of course, I know you enjoy it because you have to. You're a member of the staff, right?
Well, I most certainly have enjoyed it, and I really liked hearing my little brother Winston tonight because I hadn't heard him in several weeks, you know, so it was really good hearing his good old voice back on there.
Oh, yeah. Winston was punching the clock tonight for about an hour and did a bang-up job as always. That's why I keep you guys around. I like to surround myself with talent. And before we find out, Eddie, what you have on the agenda for our program tonight, I want to remind everybody, and I think I did in the first hour of the show, that I will be making a public appearance at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference next weekend right here in Tennessee. It's June 4th and 5th, Friday and Saturday. If you've not yet made your registration for the conference, if you've not yet made your reservation at the hotel, there's still time. We're at a very posh location here in Tennessee. And I want you to join me, and in order to do that, you've got to call the Council of Conservative Citizens National Headquarters at 636-940-8474. And again, to attend the CFCC 2010 National Conference, call the Council, 636-940-8474. In addition to having 2 days of fine fellowship and wonderful speakers, you will have the opportunity to rub elbows not only with me and with other members of my staff, but more importantly, some of the great guests that have been featured on this show, like Jared Taylor, Tom Sunick, Paul Fromm, Sam Dixon, Gordon Baum, Derek Black, and so many more. 18 speakers in all, and about 200 of the finest conservative activists this country has to offer. Just a great meeting. This will be my sixth consecutive year to speak at it, and I wouldn't miss it for the world, and I want to see you there. Still time to make your plans to come up to Tennessee and join us next Friday and Saturday. And again, that number, 636-940-8474. That is the CFCC National Headquarters number. Eddie, I guess I better quit plugging that, or you're not going to have any time to talk at all. What do you have for us tonight, my friend?
That's quite all right. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking about one of my favorite guests Of course, you're always good, James. You know, Sam Dixon, I know you know that he's always been one of my very favorite. The whole conference, it would be worth the entire trip up to Nashville just to listen to Sam Dixon, in my opinion.
He'll be closing the show. Sam Dixon is always the final speaker. They save the best for last, and truly. You know, I echo what you're saying, Eddie. Sam, one of my all-time favorite guests. And if you've never heard Sam, I mean, I'm sure you've heard him here on the show because he's made so many appearances over the years. But if you've never heard the man live, it would be worth it. If I wasn't speaking there, I would drive up there and pay to go see him speak.
Hey, is that good? You know, I'm having a little trouble hearing you tonight, James, but I think I'm hearing enough. What I was going to speak about tonight is a subject very dear to me. As a lot of people know, this is Memorial Day weekend. And if I may, I think I'm going to start off by reading one of my – I'm not the literate fellow that Winston Smith is. You know, he is really a literate fellow, an intellectual part excellence. But there's a poem – called In Flanders Fields. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's a very popular poem. It's probably the Memorial Day poem. It's known all over the world. The poem was written by an Army doctor from Canada, a Canadian Army doctor. He was an orthopedic surgeon. He was a Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae. And he was killed just mere days after he wrote the poem. And I'm going to read it right now. Here's how it goes. It goes, "In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses row and row that mark our place. And in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. Now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders field." You know, that poem, I think, is read pretty much every year in Arlington National Cemetery. By the way, revered leader Obama, I've heard is not going to make a trip to Flanders.
He's on vacation in Chicago this weekend.
The Arlington National Cemetery this year, kind of rub it in their face. But, you know, James, what I'd like to point out, you know, I'm a veteran myself, and so many people from the years back and even now, James, they have been sucked into fighting these illegal wars and for the New World Order. And really, I can't think of a war since the war, Second War of Independence, that when Lincoln invaded the South, which really was a legitimate war. Every single one of them, James, have been started of false flag attacks by the bankers in the New World Order, including the one we're currently fighting now. You know, another thing that people should know is that, you know, ever since the end of World War II, it was decided that since wars were designed to further the New World Order's goals of getting a one-world government and for consolidating power and wealth in the hands of the few, and people don't have to take my word for it. You can study history. You can even look at one of the most highly decorated military officers of all time, Major General Smedley Butler. He was slated to be the commandant of the Marine Corps until he turned a peace activist.
And remind everybody what Smedley Butler's famous book was.
And he described it, James. He told about how for years all he was a thug. He was like a little soldier enforcing the wishes of the New World Order.
War is a racket.
Yep, War is a Racket. That's the name of the book by Major General Smedley Butler. He was, I think he's the only Marine Corps officer in history to win the Medal of Honor twice. I don't think any member of any military service, either branch, has ever won it twice. I mean, very few people win it the first time and live. If you've ever noticed, if you ever pull up the people that have been awarded the Medal of Honor, if you look at it in history, most of the time it's been awarded posthumously.
Yeah, most of them died to win it, that's for sure.
I don't think I want to be awarded the Medal of Honor posthumously. If, you know, if I'm going to get any awards on Earth, I would like to get it right now. But, you know, I think about something else, too, that Henry Kissinger said. You know, Henry Kissinger, in his own book, has been quoted as saying that soldiers, military men, are poor, dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. And that's the way these people think of the military vets and currently serving military people, James. They think about that they're just dumb. You know, when Clinton was in office, they would not allow military people to wear their uniforms in White House and around the in the government buildings. Except I think they were allowed maybe one day a week they could wear their uniforms. But the Clintons especially despised them. And actually, most of the politicians hold military people in contempt. And military people have been, the young people serving the military now, a lot of them going in thinking that they're serving their country, but they're not. Take this so-called war on terror right, that's going on right now. I mean, you know, if you think about it, the war on terror is the greatest, most brilliant war that these globalists have ever come up with.
Yeah, because you're fighting a faceless enemy, an enemy that has no country, an enemy that can never be defeated.
That's right. And you know what? And better, and the best of all, it goes on forever. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And if you can keep the people scared long enough, you know, they'll do anything. They'll give up any number of their freedoms just to try to defeat this faceless, you know, godless terrorist.
That's right, Eddie. Hold it right there. We got to take a break, but we're going to come back and talk more about it when we wrap up the show.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I got to tell you, tonight's just been a great show. It truly has been a great show. Great guests, great subject matter. All the co-hosts have been on top of their game. I think every show that we do is great. And of course, I'm maybe a little biased since I created this show and I'm the primary host and everything else. Maybe there's a little bias in there, but I do think we have a great show. But some shows just feel that they flow a little bit better. And I am a perfectionist. And being a perfectionist, we always strive for to give you the very best. But tonight just felt like a really that we were at the top of our game. And if you appreciate our show and you want to allow us to not only continue to bring you these programs, but to help catapult us to the next level, remember that we are a listener-supported entity, and we need your support and financial considerations in order to keep the ball rolling. So if you want to support the Political Cesspool Radio program, you can do so safely and securely, and most importantly, discreetly, by making a credit card donation at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And I know Eddie would greatly appreciate that, as would Keith and Winston and Bill and me too, to be sure. But we're talking here, I really appreciate Eddie at the end of this show bringing up Memorial Day and the veterans out there. The Political Cesspool has had some very celebrated military veterans on this radio program in our illustrious run thus far. In fact, one of the very first major guests that we had on this show was General Hal Moore. General Hal Moore, the man whose real life story was made into a movie, We Were Soldiers, Mel Gibson, Hollywood heavyweight. Mel Gibson played Hal Moore in the movie We Were Soldiers. Hal Moore was on this show some time back. Of course, Mel Gibson's dad has been on this show recently, too, Hutton Gibson. We have had members of the crew of the USS Liberty. We had three surviving members of the crew of the USS Liberty. Of course, the ship that our great ally Israel attacked unprovoked and continued to attack, machine gunning American sailors in the water. They were on to tell that horrific story. Great show there. So, but I think my favorite, as great as those men were and as great as Hal Moore is, I still think my favorite two veterans that have ever been on the political cesspool are two of our very own. Winston Smith, a military veteran. He worked in submarines for a great number of years, a member of a submarine crew. And, of course, Eddie the Bombardier Miller himself, a veteran. Eddie was a combat medic, were you not, Eddie?
That's true, James. I certainly was. It was. I can tell you one thing, though. I'll have to confess, I did not volunteer, James. They had to drag me kicking and screaming. As a matter of fact, I wore all my fingernails off to the nub when they had to drag me into the induction station. But hey, I went. It was, you know, it was either that or the consequences were not favorable. So I went ahead and did my little duty.
And you did it for a great number of years. Don't be modest.
Obligation. You had to do 2 years, at least 2 years active. And then you had to do 2 years standby, and then 2 years in what they call inactive reserve. During any of those times, you could be called up to service. That was always, a sword hanging over your head. You were hoping nothing would come up on your, on your call, on your tour. But thankfully, I just got out, home with. Pretty much intact, except for.
But I mean, you did serve. I mean, you were actually in combat.
Well, no, a little bit. No more than anybody else was, though, James. I tell you what, I had a lot of friends killed in Vietnam. I'm sure just about anybody could name some family member because there were so many people over there. I think the official statistics say we lost about 58,000 over there. I'd say it's probably more like 400,000 or 500,000. How the government always lies. I'm glad you brought that up because, one of the reasons that they had the Vietnam War was the same reason they have all these other wars. It was to make money and things like that. And there's an excellent film out, if you can find it. It's called A Country Betrayed. It was put out by another famous military man we've had on this show, Colonel James Bo Grice. He made
that's
the
right,
movie.
Absolutely.
He went over to Burma, and we had him on the program one time several years ago, Joe. James, I don't know if you remember or not.
Yeah, Bo Grice has been on a couple of times.
Yes, sure. He has. And matter of fact, he went over there to see one of his buddies during the Vietnam War. A General Khun Saul in Burma, who later on, Bo went back to search for POWs, which, by the way, we still have many POWs in Vietnam and in Korea. And most of the old World War II POWs that have not been sent home are dead, but they died over there. They worked them to death in the Soviet Union, and they worked them to death in Korea and in China, and they worked them to death in Vietnam. And our wonderful government didn't want to bring them home because it would be an embarrassment to them, just like something you brought up, James, the United States ship Liberty, when it was attacked. Our wonderful president and government, Johnson, did not want that to get out because it might embarrass our wonderful ally, Israel.
That's right.
But I tell you what, war, General Butler couldn't have said it better. Not only is it a racket, it's the dirtiest racket there ever was. It makes the mafia look like the sisters of the poor Claire. But another thing that makes me sick, you can look in here. If you're any illegal alien, you can go to any major hospital in the United States, James, and you can get world-class medical treatment. No questions asked. As a matter of fact, I heard a funny story put out by Dr. Russell Blaylock talking about these two illegals went in on the same identification car. One of them got a surgery, and he came out of the hospital fine and dandy, got the world-class medical treatment, and another one went in later. One of his buddies got the surgery with the same identification card, and they were out released from out of the hospital before they caught the arrow, but naturally they couldn't find them. But if you go around now, I can remember a time when the Veterans Hospital was considered pretty good, almost world-class back in the late 50s. But it's become worse every year. It's like a zoo. I use the VA hospital some myself, but it looks like a United Nations field hospital now. You're really hard pressed to find a white doctor there now. Matter of fact, the last time I was at the VA, I went to see a cardiologist, James, and I saw one this one, the numeral one, American-looking doctor, white, Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian doctor. The rest of them were just, you know, from India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, you name it. These people are supposed to be our, you know, godless enemies. We've got them in there doing residency training in the VA hospital, working on people like me. And they could give a damn less about veterans, but that's really sad. And matter of fact, dear Obama's even talking about completely doing away with the veterans' hospitals. And I don't know if it's already started or not, but the new vets coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, I hear they're starting to have to pay for their own medical insurance.
Oh, sure.
I'm not sure. Before I forget, I know this show's kind of abbreviated. We have a fellow coming on next week, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. He's been an honored guest before, another vet, Officer Jack McLam. He was, he was in intelligence. He was with the U.S. Navy in Vietnam, and during the Vietnam era, and he had a top clearance, highest clearances you can get. And he's going to come on and spill the beans on Senators John McCain and John Kerry. You know, they're supposed to be these revered war heroes from Vietnam era, but they were really scoundrels, especially John McCain. I mean, that is the most low-life piece of garbage there ever was. You know, he ratted out on his fellow POWs. Matter of fact, the North Vietnamese and the Red Chinese that were involved in that war, they called him a canary because he sung. You know, anything that they wanted to know, they could always depend on McCain. And James, I know you won't be any more surprised about that than I, because McCain's dad was an admiral, was a high-ranking officer in there. You know, around the area when the USS Liberty was strafed and barely escaped sinking by the Israelis.
Right.
And they could have, any one of those admirals over there could have rescinded President Johnson's orders to not assist that ship. I think any admiral that did not tell the president to go to hell. Here's what I've done. If I'd been in his shoes, here's what I've done. President Johnson came on directly speak to the commanding admiral over there in that area when the U.S. Liberty was under attack. You know, they initially sent fighter planes, a couple of fighter planes out to defend that ship since it was under attack.
Hey, Eddie, I got a better idea for you.
Okay.
And I know where you're getting at, and hopefully everyone has listened to our interviews with the surviving crewmen of the USS Liberty, but we're out of time. You're going to have to email Eddie. Email Eddie at thepoliticalcesspool.org to find out what he would have said, what he would have done. And we are done. Have a happy Memorial Day, everybody. We'll see you next week live from the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.